You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Welcome, restless souls, to Carmen's Crypt. I'm Carmen Carrion, keeper of forgotten tales and curator of nightmares. You've wandered into my domain, where each week I unearth a fresh horror from the depths of human imagination. In these darkened halls, stories wait like hungry shadows. Each tale we've collected whispers of terrors both ancient and new. From crumbling mansions where something skitters behind the walls, to that strange text message you received at 3 a.m. from a number that shouldn't exist. So gather close, the candles are lit, the shadows grow long, and the witching hour is upon us. Are you prepared to face what lurks in the darkest recesses of Carmen's Crypt? Lock your doors, steel your nerves, and remember, here, every fear comes to life. This is Carmen's Crypt. Your sanctuary of scares awaits. You've seen it your whole life. Not directly. Never directly. But you've caught the movement. That flicker of shadow that shouldn't be there. The shape that vanishes the instant you turn your head. Everyone has. We all pretend we don't notice because acknowledging it makes it more real. And making it more real is dangerous. My name is Dr. Thessaly Mordecai, and I'm a neuroscientist specializing in visual perception. I'm writing this because I need someone to know what I've discovered before they come for me. If you're reading this, I'm likely already gone. It started 3 months ago with a patient named Garrison Fole. Garrison came to my clinic complaining of persistent peripheral hallucinations, standard stuff, usually indicating early-stage retinal detachment or temporal lobe issues. But his case was different. The hallucinations were consistent. Always the same shape, always just outside his direct vision, and always watching. It's been there since I was a child, he told me during our first session, his hands trembling as they gripped the armrests. I thought everyone had one. My parents told me it was just shadows, just my imagination. But it's gotten closer, Dr. Mordecai. Every year, it gets a little closer. I ran every test. His retinas were perfect. His brain scans showed nothing unusual. I was ready to refer him to psychiatry when he grabbed my wrist with surprising strength. You have one too, he whispered. I can see it. Right there, behind your left shoulder. I laughed it off. Professional distance. But that night, alone in my apartment, I found myself glancing over my left shoulder again and again. Nothing there. Of course nothing was there.
Let's check in on the Serta counting sheep.
Hey, Uncle Number One, why aren't we counting anymore?
Long ago, Serta invented the perfect sleeper mattress.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes. It says the all-new Serta Perfect Sleeper with a Q4 support system has 4-in-1 perfectly interlinked coils that help relieve aches and back pain for perfect sleep night after night.
We'll never get counted again.
Nope.
Serta, we make the world's best mattress.
This Memorial Day, save on Serta Perfect Sleeper X at a retailer near you.
Garrison stopped coming to appointments. I called his emergency contact, his sister, who told me he'd checked himself into a psychiatric facility upstate. She sounded relieved. He kept saying it was getting closer, she said. He stopped sleeping, stopped eating, just sat in the corner of his room staring at nothing. I should have let it go. I should have moved on to the next patient. But Garrison had planted something in my mind, and like a seed in fertile soil, it grew. I started researching peripheral vision phenomena. The human eye has a blind spot, a gap in our visual field, where the optic nerve connects to the retina. Our brains fill in this gap seamlessly, inventing details to maintain the illusion of complete vision. But what if the brain was filling in the gap with something else? What if it was showing us something that was actually there? I found scattered references in obscure journals. A 1952 Soviet study on peripheral perception, mysteriously discontinued. A Japanese researcher's notes from the 1970s, most of which had been redacted. An Australian sleep study from 2003 that ended abruptly when two researchers died in what was ruled a murder-suicide. The common thread? They'd all been investigating the phenomenon Garrison described. Shapes in peripheral vision, consistent shapes, watching shapes. And they'd all stopped their research suddenly. I should have recognized the warning. Instead, I designed an experiment. I recruited 20 volunteers, fitted them with specialized eye-tracking equipment, and had them report any peripheral anomalies during various tasks. For the first week, nothing unusual occurred. Standard visual noise, easily explained by neural misfiring or environmental factors. Then, on day 8, something changed. Perpetua, a graduate student volunteer, called me at 3 a.m., sobbing. "I can't stop seeing it," she said. "Now that I'm looking for it, I can't stop seeing it. It's in every room. It's always there, Dr. Mordecai. How did I never notice it was always there?" By morning, 3 more volunteers had withdrawn from the study. By the end of the week, 12 had dropped out. The remaining 8 reported the same thing. Once you started actively watching for the shape, it became impossible not to see. And worse, it seemed to notice that you were watching. "It moved," one volunteer told me, his eyes bloodshot from lack of sleep. "I was focused on it, really trying to see it directly, and it moved, not away, toward me, just a fraction, just enough to let me know it knew." I terminated the study. I destroyed the data. I tried to forget, but you can't unknow something once you know it. That's when I started seeing mine. Left peripheral vision, about 7 o'clock position. A dark shape, roughly human-sized but wrong in proportions. Too tall and too thin to be human, with limbs that bent at angles that didn't quite make sense. And yes, it was watching. I could feel its attention like cold breath on the back of my neck. I tried to ignore it. I focused on my work, on normal patients with normal problems, but it was always there. When I drove, I could see it in the back seat through my rearview mirror's edge. When I showered, it stood just beyond the frosted glass. When I tried to sleep, it loomed in the darkness near my bedroom door. The worst part? I started researching historical accounts, folklore, mythology. Every culture has them. The shadow people. The watchers. The things that exist in the spaces we don't quite look at. The Hawaiians called them Akualele. The Cree called them Mamawatawin. Medieval Europeans spoke of shade stalkers. What if they weren't myths? What if they were reports? I found Garrison. He was still institutionalized, but after I pulled some strings and claimed to be conducting follow-up research, they let me see him. He had aged 20 years in 3 months. His hair had gone completely white. He sat in the corner of his room, facing the walls, because, he explained, it can only approach from behind. I'm not looking at it directly. They're real, he said without preamble. You know that now, don't you? You've been looking, and now you can't stop seeing. What are they? I asked. He laughed. The wrong answer, doctor. The question is, what are we to them? And I think I know the answer. We're not the observers. We're the observed. We never were the watchers. We're the watched. That doesn't make sense, doesn't it? Think about it. They're always there, just out of direct sight, perfectly positioned to observe us without being seen. What kind of evolutionary advantage would that serve? Unless observation is their purpose. Unless we're... He trailed off, his eyes focusing on something behind me. I refused to turn around. Unless we're what? I pressed. Unless we're the experiment. He whispered. And they're the researchers. I left the facility shaken.
This Memorial Day weekend, I'm skipping phony sales and shopping at Bob's Discount Furniture, where I don't have to worry about missing out on great savings. Because no matter what, when I shop, Bob's has trending styles at everyday low prices, ready to ship fast, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional with over 1,700 five-star reviews. So make the most of your summer and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
That night, I couldn't sleep. I lay in bed staring at the ceiling, intensely aware of the shape standing in my peripheral vision near the closet. It had gotten closer. Garrison was right. It was definitely closer than it had been a month ago. I broke every protocol I'd ever learned. I decided to look at it directly. I took a deep breath, stilled myself, and turned my head to face the closet. Nothing. Empty space. But in my peripheral vision, now on my right side, it stood closer than ever. Close enough that I could almost make out details. Something like fingers. Something like a face. But hollow where features should be. I tried again, whipping my head around fast, trying to catch it in direct view. Nothing. And yet, there it was, now behind me, even closer. I stood from my bed, dizzy with fear, turning in circles, trying to see it directly. Each time I turned, it shifted to remain in my peripheral vision, and each time, it was closer. Finally, exhausted, I stopped moving. It stood less than a foot away now. I could feel it. Not heat, but absence of heat. A void of warmth. My breath came out in clouds despite the summer night. And I understood something terrible. It had always been able to get this close. It had been choosing to stay back. But now that I'd been trying to see it, really see it, the rules had changed. Now, it knew I knew. I started searching for information about what happens when you actually see one directly. I found only one account, buried in a declassified CIA document about remote viewing experiments from the 1970s. A test subject claimed to have developed a technique to view the peripheral entities directly through the use of mirrors and carefully timed head movements. The document ended with a single sentence stamped in red. Subject expired during observation. Cause of death, undetermined. Body showed no signs of trauma, disease, or physiological failure. Subject simply ceased to function, as if switched off. I'm writing this now because it's standing right next to me. I can see it in my laptop screen's reflection, a dark smudge that shouldn't exist. I've stopped trying to look at it directly. I understand now that seeing it fully would be the end. Not because it would attack, but because the human mind isn't meant to process what it actually is. Garrison was right. We're not built to see our observers. But I've discovered something else, something that makes this all so much worse. I've been analyzing the data from my terminated study, the information I should have destroyed. I found patterns in the eye tracking data. The volunteers' eyes would make tiny unconscious movements, microsaccades, toward the locations where they reported seeing shapes. This is normal. Our eyes are always moving slightly, processing our environment. But here's what made my blood run cold. The microsaccade showed avoidance patterns. The volunteers' eyes were unconsciously avoiding looking at very specific points in space, points that remained consistent, even when they moved, even when they changed positions, as if their brains were working actively to prevent them from seeing something that was objectively there. I plotted these avoided points in three-dimensional space. There were dozens of them in the testing room, dozens of entities, all standing perfectly still, all watching. We'd been surrounded by them the entire time, and our brains had been protecting us by refusing to acknowledge them. I started plotting the points in my apartment. I stopped when I reached 37. 37 entities in my one-bedroom apartment, standing motionless, watching. They've always been there. In your home, in your car, at your workplace. Humanity has existed its entire history, surrounded by silent observers, and our brains have evolved specifically to not see them. Until now. Until we started looking. I can see mine without turning my head now. It's close enough that it's bleeding into my direct vision. A dark smudge I can't blink away. I think I'm beginning to understand what it looks like, and the knowledge is breaking something in my mind. It's not that it's ugly or monstrous. It's that the shape of it doesn't conform to the laws of physics as we understand them. It exists in more dimensions than we can process, and seeing it is like trying to pour an ocean into a teacup. My nose started bleeding an hour ago. It hasn't stopped. I need you to understand something crucial. This isn't a warning to stop looking. It's too late for that. If you've read this far, you're already looking. You've already noticed the shape that's always been there, just out of direct sight. You can't unknow this now. They don't move when we're not looking. They move when we almost look. Garrison called me an hour ago. I don't know how he got a phone. His voice was calm, almost peaceful. "I finally understand," he said. "They're not watching us to harm us. They're watching us because something else is coming, and they're checking to see if we notice. They're measuring how aware we are. And Dr. Mordecai? I think we failed the test. I think by finally seeing them, we've proven that we're not ready for what they've been protecting us from." "What are they protecting us from?" I asked. The line went silent for a long time. Then, "Turn around, Dr. Mordecai. Turn around and look at what's standing behind the ones who watch." I didn't turn around. Garrison screamed, not in pain, in recognition. The call ended. The facility called me this morning. Garrison was found dead in his room. No marks, no trauma. He simply stopped living. His eyes were wide open, staring at the corner of his ceiling. I'm losing time. I'll be sitting at my desk and suddenly hours have passed. I can't help but see it. Isn't moving, but reality bends around it, like light around a black hole. There's something else here now. Something behind the watcher. Something that makes the entity that's been observing me seem small and insignificant by comparison. I can't see it even peripherally, but I can feel it. It's vast. It's old. And it's noticed that I've noticed the Watchers. The Watchers were never the danger. They were the barrier. They were standing between us and something else. And by learning to see them, we've created gaps in their coverage, holes in their protective observation. Something is coming through those holes. I can hear it breathing. If you're reading this, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You're seeing them now too, aren't you? The shapes in your peripheral vision. You always have been, but now you can't stop noticing them. And soon, like me, you'll see what's behind them. Don't turn around. Whatever you do, don't turn around. It's standing right behind you. It's always been standing right behind you. And now that you know it's there, it knows you know. It's reaching out. I can see its hands in the reflection on my screen. It has too many fingers. They're getting closer to my shoulder. Once it touches me, I think I'll understand everything. I think I'll see what Garrison saw in his final moment. I think I'll see what we really are, what we've always really been. The watched, the measured, the specimens. I don't want to understand, but the fingers are touching my shoulder now, and I can feel my mind expanding to accommodate the knowledge. And it's too much. It's too vast. It's too... And so, dear listeners, we emerge from another dark corner of Carmen's crypt. But remember, the horrors you've heard tonight are merely echoes of the terrors that await in the shadows of your mind. If you enjoyed your stay in the crypt, why not invite a friend to join us next week? After all, fear is best when shared. Leave a review if you dare, or share your own tales of terror on my social media, or on my website, carmen-carrion.com. Who knows? Your nightmares might just become my next story. Until next time, keep checking under your bed. And remember, in Carmen's crypt, every fear comes to life, and no one is truly safe. Sweet dreams, if you can still sleep at all.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it?
Yeah, so do we.
Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.